Go into Ezra chapter 3 this morning. Again, you have a handout there. And again, like we were saying last week, I think some of us are patient to some degree. Did anybody feel like you're patient a little bit? Yeah, I'm patient some. You can tolerate some, okay? So we're patient to some degree, and we don't expect everything to be perfect. You know, we don't expect everything to work out exactly like we hoped all the time. But when it begins to get frustrating is when nothing seems to be working out or when there seems to be no progress at all. You know, like you're trying to improve your financial situation and you're okay that it's taking some time and you're okay that it's not happening quickly. But you just want to see some progress, right? You just want to see some movement in the right direction. Maybe it's your relationships or your health. Isn't that irritating? The older you get, it's like, I keep going backwards. You know, but it just doesn't get better. It keeps getting worse. Your relationships, like I said, more importantly, your spiritual growth and well-being and the advancement of God's kingdom, or maybe the spiritual state of your children. And you're okay if they're not perfect, right? You know, we love our kids. We're okay if they're not perfect. But we just want to see some progress, right? Some movement in the right direction. And that's what makes us frustrated is when there's no progress. So what do we do with that? You know, is there something we can do to make sure that more progress happens? Does God even care about that? And I believe he does. And we see that begin to happen in the book of Ezra. And we'll eventually move into the book of Nehemiah. But the first step, and even today, the second step is kind of confusing because when you think, let's make progress, so like if you have a room in your house, have you ever had children that you have a room in your house? Like just the other day, we have a room in our house that's just torn apart because I don't know what happens. You know, you just, when you have four kids, you blink and all of a sudden everything's chaos, you know. And so there's a room in a house, and I've been slowly working on getting it better. And so it's our dining room. And on the dining room table, there's just a load of stuff on there because I'm trying to just move everything out and start to get it reorganized. And the other day I asked, I won't name which child, one of the children to clean their area. I was going to say the gender, and that would narrow it down to two. But their area, and I caught out of the corner. No, I didn't catch when it happened. I noticed that one of the things that was in this person's area made its way onto the dining room table. Because in this person's mind, they thought, well, there's so much stuff there, he won't notice if I just shove it all on there, and that'll get my job done quickly. And then that makes me see that now there's, instead of moving forward, I'm moving backwards. You know, how is more stuff getting on this table? And we love our kids. We just want to see some progress, right? We don't want the room to look perfect. We just want to see it just move in the right direction, all right? Let me just see a little space on the carpet in your room, okay? Just one little space. And it's like that in life, isn't it? I don't need perfection, just progress, okay? But again, the first two steps that we see with Ezra is confusing to us because when you think, like cleaning that room, when you think, if I'm going to make progress, what am I going to do? I'm going to do some work on that room, right? If we're going to make progress, I need to start doing something. It's not going to happen if I just sit back and pray that God will clean the room for me. You know, as much as that would be wonderful, wouldn't that be wonderful if you just prayed and God just cleaned the house and did the laundry for you? But we know that it doesn't happen that way. So we know that you have to do work. But the first step to be able to make progress in life is to do nothing. That's confusing. And if you missed that last week, you can go back online and check that out. The first step is to be content. Just be okay with the way things are. Now, how in the world am I going to make progress by doing nothing? Because sometimes in life, when we do stuff, and we're doing stuff, sometimes we're doing stuff all the time. Have you ever been doing so much stuff, and eventually you stop and you think, what is this stuff that I'm doing? Does this stuff even matter? Is this stuff even doing anything? Why am I so busy? Okay, and it's because sometimes we are working hard and we're trying to make things happen, but we're doing the wrong things. We're doing the things that aren't helping the progress, or we're trying to progress to a place that God hasn't designed us to progress to, and we won't see that if we're so busy trying to make something happen. And so when we step back and we decide to be content and okay with the way things are, and we relax a little bit. Anybody ever have a hard time relaxing? He's just always uptight. You know, everything's always things to have to get done. Just relax. Chill out. Breathe. Pray. Think about life. Enjoy life. Settle on some of your passions sometimes. You know, sometimes you're just so passionate to certain things that just settle down. And in the midst of that contentment, you might start to see that there are things that you're doing that have no value. They don't matter. And you might start to see there's things that you're not doing that have value. And you might start to figure out what you should be doing with today and then begin to discover progress. But the second one, and this is something that personal experience for me, you know, part of the things that are going on in my household with, you know, part of it is my health, but that's just part of what you know. You know that we have kids that are crazy, and there's different things that are okay and some things that are not okay with that, and there's a lot you don't know. And then in pastoring a church, I tell you some things and some things I don't. It's not that I keep secrets. It's just sometimes there's things that you don't need to know. You know, some things you don't know. You don't need to know what this person's dealing with. You know, I know. And as I wrestle with life and stuff, there's times that in life you just want to give up on certain things. Have you ever been there before? You just want to give up on that relationship. You know, I tried to do all the different things, and I've tried to stick with it, and it's just I'm done. I'm done with that. Or sometimes you have, you're trying to get your life put together, whether it's financially or spiritually or whatever, and you've tried, right? You've put a lot of effort into it. You've done different things. You've read the books, and you've watched the YouTube videos, and you listen to the podcast, and you listen to the sermons, and you've done all the stuff, and you're just done, right? You're just I'm tired of doing it, okay? Have you ever been there before? Or a principle that you're trying to live by. You're trying to live this way, and you try your best, and then you keep failing at it. And so you just, at some point, you just decide, I'm done. And you know, I'm giving up on this. And we end up being quitters. Do you ever get tired of being a quitter? Do you ever get tired of tried this new thing and you quit on it? You tried this new thing and you quit on it. You tried to do this or try to live this way and you quit on it. Do you ever just get tired of quitting? And sometimes I wonder, maybe we're not making progress because we keep quitting. Well, how do I stop that? And today's Father's Day. And I've said this numerous times over the years that I've pastored. Can you believe it's been over 5 years? Boy, that went by fast. But over the 5 years that I've been here pastoring, I've mentioned off and on Father's Day that I've often disliked what commonly happens in churches on Father's Day. On Mother's Day, we usually say, mothers are great, they're wonderful, we love you guys, you do everything. On Father's Day, you guys need to shape up, all right? You guys need to get better and get your act together. This usually happens on Father's Day. And to a point, there's a reason for that, and it's not legitimate how extreme that goes, and I've resisted doing that. But the reason why I think that happens is because us men, we tend to be quitters. Now, let me hear me out for a minute. Here's the way we tend to be quitters. We like to succeed, okay? We like to be good at stuff. And when we figure out we're not good at it, you know what we do? We tend to find something else to start doing. You know, that's why some dads decide that they're going to stop trying to do this parenting stuff. I'm just going to go out in the garage, or I'm just going to go, you know, I'm going to go hunting or do something else. And do you want to take the kids with you? No, they can stay here. You just start to pull away because you start to realize you're struggling at doing the dad thing and you don't like failing. So you step back on it. Or same with the husband thing or your job. Or, you know, a lot of times guys will quit their job because they're just not good at it. And so I'm just quitting. And that happens. But dads aren't the only ones that are in that place, right, ladies? Ladies do the same thing. We try, and it gets hard. We just quit. How do I stop doing that? How do I stop quitting? Because you certainly, if you think it's bad enough that you have to get content and wait and do nothing in that, and that's going to cause you to not get progress, think about whether or not you quit all the time. You're not going to make progress if you keep giving up on it, right? Are you going to make progress if you keep giving up? But we keep doing it. How do we stop giving up all the time? Well, I think that Ezra, in this third chapter, is going to give us some principles or some examples to show us what we might be able to do to prevent giving up. Ezra chapter 3, look with me if you will. Ezra chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. When the seventh month came, and the children of Israel were in the towns, the people gathered as one man to Jerusalem. Then arose Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, with his fellow priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, with his kinsmen, and they built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God, verse 3. They set the altar in its place, for fear was on them because of the peoples of the lands. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, burnt offerings morning and evening. And they kept the Feast of Booths, as it is written, and they offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the rule, each day, as each day required, verse 5. And after that, the regular burnt offerings, the offerings at the new moon and at all the appointed feasts of the Lord, and the offerings of everyone who had made freewill offerings to the Lord, verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was yet to be laid. So they gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food and drink and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrrhenians to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the grant that they had from Cyrus, king of Persia, verse 8. Now in the second year, after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak made a beginning, together with the rest of their kinsmen, the priests and the Levites, old and upward, to see Jerusalem from the captivity. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to supervise the work of the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his brothers and Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together supervised the workmen in the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the Levites, their sons and brothers. And when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud with joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. So what do we make of all this stuff that's happening here? Now, things that we do in life, and we will do this when it comes to our endurance, so to speak, but we also do it in other areas of life. We do things, we take preventative measures. Okay? Like when you brush your teeth, I hope you brush your teeth, when you brush your teeth and floss, do you ever go to the dentist and they say, have you been flossing? You know, it's that moment of great conviction, you know? Once a year, before I come see you. Or have you ever had those moments where, like, you have been flossing every day, you go to the city dentist and they say, have you been flossing? You're thinking, what, am I doing it wrong? But you don't floss because there's something wrong, right? You don't brush your teeth and use mouthwash maybe you use it because you have bad breath, I don't know. But you don't typically do dental hygiene because there's something wrong. You do it as a preventative. You do it to prevent something from going wrong. You do that with your dental hygiene. You do that with other health things. You do that in your relationships. You do that with your finances. You know, you try to save, set money aside so that when something goes wrong financially, you have some money to kind of lessen the blow of that. We do a lot of different things to try to prevent things. But do you do anything in your life to try to prevent you from being a quitter? Do you take preventative measures to try to keep yourself from giving up on progress? Well, Ezra is going to show us that there are three preventatives to keep us from quitting on the things that God has called us to do. Now, there's two side ones that just mention in passing in addition to the three. And one is, did you notice that he said that they were gathering up the money and the resources? Okay, and you might remember this from chapter 1. And I forgot to mention, we skipped over chapter 2, not because it's not important, but because he was just numbering the groups of people and organizing the groups of people. It's very difficult to make a sermon out of that. Okay, but that doesn't mean it's not important and it doesn't matter. So I encourage you to read it on your at your leisure at some point. But it says that they gathered the resources from where? Did anybody catch that? They got it from the grant that they received from Cyrus, not a Jew. He's not the king of the Jews. Cyrus was the king of Persia. So again, just like last week, they're utilizing resources that came from a source that wasn't even godly. And some of us, the reason why we're quitting is we don't have resources to do what God is calling us to do the things we want to do. And we don't have resources because we're turning down resources. I don't know if you've ever been in that place or seen someone in that place. There are some people that are needy and struggling and help comes in and they turn it down because they don't like what it looks like or they don't like what is expected of them. I sometimes, when some people will come to me here for benevolence requests, sometimes we just give them the help depending on the situation. But there's times if someone keeps coming over and over asking for help, at some point we start to have the discussion, hey, what's going on, you know, here? And we start asking things, and I start asking some questions. And you know what usually happens at that point? I don't want your help anymore. You're asking too many questions, you know. And we do that. You know, I don't want help. I don't like that guy. I don't want him to help. Or I don't want them to be able to say that they're the reason why I'm here. You know, I want to prove that I could do it on my own. And then you find yourself struggling because you're rejecting help that's trying to come in. So one of the reasons why we quit is because we're doing that. The other is, and this always bothers me to say this, I don't know if you noticed in verse 8 that they're starting to get organized, right? They're starting to give assignments and get things together. And I know that there's different types of people. Some of us are organized and organized to a fault. Let me just tell you. Hamilton texted me, what was that, Thursday or Friday? Thursday or Friday, he texted me and said, you need to wear a blue shirt today. Now, I have a problem with that, and then the problem I have with that is I organize my clothes, and I already had a shirt ready for today. And so I was like, do I change and wear a blue shirt according to his request, or do I wear what was planned to wear that day? Because I got to keep things organized, okay? And so I was like, you know, I'm going to wear the shirt I had planned. What shirt do I have planned? Oh, it is a blue shirt. And then I was like, but it's a light blue shirt, and I bet everybody else is going to wear, like, regular blue or dark blue. And so maybe I should change to a darker blue or a regular blue. Like, no, you know what? I want to wear this. What was going on there? Here, I know most of the guys are wearing light shirts. So it works out. God help me not look so crazy until I told you what was going on there. But I like things. And some of you are like me, right? Anybody like me? You like things, maybe not that extreme, but you like things to be organized. You like to get things organized. You like to plan things out and stuff. Some people are not like that, okay? Some people don't like to plan. In fact, they hate plans. They just don't plan things. Let's just do things on the spur of the moment, all right? And I don't need everything organized, you know. I like this to be a mess because I know how to find it in the mess, all right? So some people aren't like that. And it's not a sin to be one way or the other. But here's the thing. Which direction you are will decide what things you struggle with and what things you excel at, okay? Now, when it comes to not being a quitter and when it comes to being persistent and pursuing the things that God has called you to do, you know what comes as a great resource? Being someone who's structured and organized and planned out. It just helps things along. And so someone like me, I can try to act like, because have you ever seen people act like, look at me, I'm all together and I got things figured out and that guy's a mess, but look at me, I'm planned out and structured. And they act as if they made it happen, right? But where does it all come from? You know, God's the one that gifts us and wires us the way that we are. It says that some are the feet, some are the hand, and those kind of things like we said last week. So it's not that it's like I made it happen. So I need to recognize that it's easy for me, okay? It's easy for me to do those things. That's great. And some of you, it's not easy for, but that doesn't mean you don't need to do it. It's harder for you. And I feel the frustration for you because that must be irritating when structure and routine makes it work better. But sometimes we have to make adjustments in life, don't we? We have to adapt. Just like if you're an introvert, not an extrovert, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to have healthy relationships. Okay? That doesn't mean you're not supposed to be social to a degree. You might not end up like Heather or other extroverts in our midst that like to talk, but we need to so we need to make adjustments. So some of the why you're quitting is because you just keep saying, "Well, I am who I am," you know. Whether you're not a timely person, you know, it's just I am who I am. No, you can make adjustments and change things. But those are just the two little things. So what are the big things? I want you to note what happens, what begins to happen in Ezra chapter 3. And this is actually curious to me because we're thinking progress. Remember here, 70 years in captivity. Okay, I want you to imagine that. 70 years with no freedom. 70 years you're enslaved. 70 years, some of you were born into it. This is all you knew. And all of a sudden, the doors become open and you're set free and you're liberated. In 70 years that you've not been able to go to the house of worship. 70 years, it's not really even been in existence. And now all of a sudden you're here, you're in Jerusalem, and you're capable of building the temple and beginning to do things. And did you notice that it says in verse 1, when the seventh month came? I want you to think about this for a second. You've been waiting 70 years, you get there. And notice it says the foundation had not been laid yet. 7 months, and they're not doing anything yet. They're not making progress. Why? Why aren't they making progress? You know what they were doing? They were sacrificing. They were offering sacrifices to God. They were worshiping. They were trying to make sure that they were following the laws and doing all the things that they weren't able to do. And they began to do the important things, even to the degree that it says that they laid the altar despite that they were fearful of the other people groups around them, because there were other nations that were a threat to them. And so it's not only the temple they needed to rebuild at some point, but remember, Nehemiah will come in and they will build the walls. And back then, the walls around the city were meant for security. Where like today, we have a military and a police force, and we have different things to try to gain some form of security. Back then, they built walls around their city. And so they weren't safe. They were under threat, and they were new back here. Other people were ruling, and they needed to get some things done. But before they did it, 7 months before they did that. In fact, later in our chapter that we read, it said in the second year they began to rebuild or build the foundation. Now, that doesn't mean that it was 2 years in. It was during the second year, so it could be, you know, one or over 1 year. But you think about this. When you want to make progress, how long do you wait? You know, when you want to get things changed, how long do you wait? Do you wait 7 months? Do you wait a year? Do you wait 2 years? You start doing something about it, but they're waiting. Why? Because they recognize that there are some things in life that are more important than progress. That's infuriating to people who like to make progress. There are some things that are more important than progress, and those things are our relationship with and our faithfulness to the Lord and our faithfulness to live the way he calls us to live. And there are some people that will sacrifice being involved in the body of Christ because they have certain financial pursuits and they have to do certain things with their job and their career. And because of that, they aren't doing the important things. Well, what am I supposed to do? I need to make progress financially. Well, these guys really are under threat and they needed to make progress with the temple and with the walls. But they were waiting, trusting God that I need to make sure I do the essentials before I do those things. There are others of you that are sacrificing your relationship with your family for different pursuits that you have going on in your life because I just have to get this area right. I just have to make progress here. I have to do something about it, and that just takes up. Some of you sacrifice your do these things, and you sacrifice your relationship with your families. You sacrifice your friendship. Some of you sacrifice your health because you just keep going and going and going and going. There's a reason why God gave us the Sabbath day. Didn't Jesus present that when he showed up on the scene? He said it was made for you guys because you need the rest. You need to take time out. That doesn't mean you need to be lazy. That doesn't mean you never exert yourself. But here's what happens. I don't know if you've ever been here before. When you decide that this has to happen, I have to make progress, and I'm not going to rest, and I'm not going to do these other things until that happens. And you go after that thing, and you push, and you push, and you push, and you might see a little progress. Maybe you succeed greatly, but at some point, you get to a place where you just don't have any energy anymore. Have you ever been there before? We call it, I got burnt out, right? I can't do it anymore. Some of you hit that wall before where you just can't do it anymore. You know why you couldn't do it anymore? Because you weren't taking care of the important things that were necessary for you to still have the energy to keep going. You weren't resting. Well, how can I rest when there's so much to be done? You're going to burn out at some point. You're going to quit at some point if you don't rest. I know from experience, you will. If you don't have relationships, if you don't enjoy life, if you don't keep your relationship with God healthy, at some point you will lose the energy and you won't keep going. You will quit. And if you want to make sure that there's progress in your life, and this is the thing that's so odd, is if you want to make sure there's progress in your life, that means that sometimes you need to take the progress and kick it to the back seat and wait 7 months. Wait a couple years. Because you aren't in a place to tackle that. There are so many things on my to-do list that I want to accomplish in my life before I die. Anybody like that? You have a list. And it's not a bucket list. It's not like these fun things I want to do. These things you want to accomplish for the Lord list before you die. And there's a bunch of them that's sitting there that I'm doing nothing about it. Because I can't. I would be ruined. I would mess myself up and other things in my life if I did it. I can't do those things right now. And some of you, you're quitting and you're beating yourself up and you're feeling guilt-ridden because you're pushing yourself to do things while not taking care of the essentials. That's the first preventative. The second preventative, and this is again where it gets weird, because I don't know anybody, and I always mess up. I think it's the Mary, the Martha story, where it's Mary that just kept cleaning everything up and stuff. No, see, I always get it wrong. It's Martha that's doing all the work, and Mary's just sitting there doing nothing at Jesus' feet, and Martha gets all upset because there's a lot of things that have to get done. And I don't know if you're like me that, like, you know, at some point people just stop working. Have you ever been in a place where you're trying to get stuff done, they're trying to get stuff done, and then all of a sudden everybody around you stops, and you're like, how are we going to get this done if you all stopped? We need to keep going. We need to keep doing this stuff. And they just stop for some reason. Sometimes they just stop the play. Anybody have a hard time playing? Come on. Anybody who confess? Anybody have a hard time playing? You just take life so seriously. You just have to keep working. You have a hard time just stopping and playing and enjoying life. Here's the weird thing that these guys did. Okay? 7 months in, they finally get to doing some building of the altar. And then we're at least a year in. And they finally start laying the foundation. You think, all right, now we're going to get some work done, right? We laid the foundation, okay, so we're going to start working. You know what they did? They started celebrating. They stopped again, and they started celebrating. Woohoo, look, we have a foundation. This is wonderful. Let's celebrate. Let's throw a party. Let's start worshiping. And you're thinking, all the workers are thinking, we're not done yet. Why are we celebrating? And here's the reason why. Have you ever, and again, it all feeds to this, have you ever kept trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and trying? And at some point you realized, I'm miserable. Have you ever been there before? You thought, I'm doing all the work. I'm doing all the right things that I'm supposed to do. But I don't feel happy. I don't ever feel happy. I always feel mad. And it's because you're focused on the end result. We just have to get there. All right, I just have to get there. Same with your spiritual journey and your growth with you and the Lord. I just have to get there. And you find yourself frustrated because you're never there. Did you know that? All the work is never done. It's not. It's not ever done. Your progress in any area of life, it's never done. You're never fully there. And if you're vested in that's when I'm going to be happy, you're not ever going to be happy. And we miss the reality that we're not just meant to arrive at a destination. We're meant to be going to a destination. We miss that we're supposed to enjoy the progress that's happening. Okay, so you struggle with anger with your kids, as I do, okay? And you struggle, you try to not have outbursts of anger. And you just wanna make it for a whole month with not ever getting mad at your kids. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you've had kids, that's difficult. That's hard. And some of you are thinking, that's not hard. You probably didn't have kids. Or you had that one kid that was easy that just never caused any problem or something. And you try really hard. You make it about a day or two because they were away at some camp. And then they come home and give up on this. I can't. And then you lose your mind. And then you're like, oh, man, I just should give up on this. I can't do it. Because you're focused on the destination rather than the progress. And sometimes we have to realize that they didn't know it, but on the inside, I really wanted to let them have it, but I didn't let them have it. And you know what you should do in that moment? Celebrate that you held yourself back for one moment. It was only for a day, but celebrate that a little bit of progress happened. They did that with the foundation. You're thinking, I just got to get these spiritual devotion habits happening in my life. You know, I need to be praying and reading the Bible, and I try, and it just doesn't happen. And then I'm going to do it every day of the week. And then what happens is people do it, and they only did 4 out of the 7. And then they say, I should just give up. You know, I should just quit because I can't do it every single day. Why? Because we're focused on the on getting there rather than the progress. God actually enjoys being right with you in the midst of you making the progress. And so instead of doing that, if you read it one day out of the week, it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep progressing forward. One day out of the week, step back and celebrate. I read my Bible one day this week. Woohoo! And some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, if you want the emotional energy to keep progressing, you're going to have to celebrate every minor, small step that you make. Well, that's going to take forever if I keep stopping and celebrating. Who wins, the hare or the tortoise? Okay. So you can decide that you're going to sacrifice sleep, and you're going to sacrifice rest, and you're going to sacrifice enjoyment, celebration. You're going to sacrifice your relationships. You're going to sacrifice your health. You're going to sacrifice all these. We're like that as Americans. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we're going to make it happen. And you start running out the gate like that hare, and you just start flying down the road, and the tortoise is just, you know, moving a little bit and celebrating, moving a little bit and resting. And you're thinking, boy, look, I'm flying past that guy. But eventually the tortoise ends up walking. It's like, have you ever been driving in the middle of a snowstorm down the highway? We did this on numerous times on Interstate 70. You're going down the highway, and you're going like 50, 40. You're like 20 miles under because, like, you're feeling yourself sliding a little bit. And you see that guy in a sports car that just goes flying down the road. And you're like, wow, he's going to get there before I do. Not, because eventually you find that same guy on the side of the road because he's spun out, and now he's stuck, and now you're just slowly passing him. Okay? And it's like that with progress. You feel like you're getting somewhere because you're going real fast, but you're going to burn out and fly off the road at some point. You need to stop and celebrate so that you can keep yourself motivated to keep going forward. Then the third one, this is the last one, this is the puzzling one. It's interesting. Did you notice at the end there that there were two different reactions to the same thing? Okay. The foundation is laid. Okay, we've been 70 years away from this. Even the ones who lived long enough to be there when they left and now they're back. We've waited 70 years and now the foundation is finally laid, and some of them were celebrating like I had said. And some of them began weeping. Did you see that? Some of them began mourning at the sight of it because they could remember the day when there was this glorious temple that was there. And they were comparing. Okay, they were comparing where they used to be and where they are today, and where they used to be is better than where they are today. And we do that comparison game all the time, don't we? We might not like to admit it, but we do. We compare ourselves to ourselves. Where we are today and where we were. I mean, if you're comparing your body now to where you were when you were 25, you're going to be miserable, at least most of us. You know. Are you comparing your finances to where you were before inflation, before COVID? You know, comparing the political situation now to, as if there weren't political craziness in the 60s and those other times too, but we do that comparison. We compare ourselves to others. You know, where I am spiritually compared to that person. You know, it's the worst. You are in a certain place spiritually. You've been following the Lord 10, 15, 20 years. And that guy just gets saved. And 6 months later, that guy's further along than you. Isn't that irritating? Okay. Or you've been working years getting your house situated and getting your house in order. And then someone moves in next to you. A young guy moves in next to you. Before you know it, his house is looking way better than yours. And he's working a full-time job, and you're retired, and you're thinking, what gives? You know, you're parenting, and your kids, you're having a hard time, and you see those other people with their kids, and you think, why can't my kids be like their kids? Okay? Or some of you, why can't my husband be like that husband? You know, why my wife be like that? And we do the comparison game. And you know what? That's not a good game sometimes. And here's the thing. Here's why they were reacting differently, is because they had the same point A. They had same point B, but they had a different point A. They had a different starting point that they were looking at. And so they're looking, and one's looking from the perspective of how great it used to be. And we do that sometimes here at Bethel, don't we? We think of Bethel in the 90s and Bethel in the 80s and 70s when God was really moving and the place was packed and there were all kinds of programs and there was 18 pastors on staff. No, there was never 18, but there was more. And there's all these resources and stuff. And we look back at the glory days and we look at today. And sometimes some of you, it's hard to celebrate. Like, think about this for a moment. Came out of COVID, the amount of people that were in the sanctuary and where we are today. Okay? And that goes back and forth and back and forth. But if you're always focused on, because I was getting irritated during some of that season, because I was comparing what was happening pre-COVID to what was happening post-COVID, and my point A was not a good starting point. And it was miserable, and it was sad, and it was disappointing. And if you want to know how to not, because you're going to kill yourself. If you keep looking at the better days instead of today, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to be miserable. The reason why some of you are so depressed is because you're thinking about your 25-year-old body. Okay? You're thinking about when things used to be good. You're thinking about when society used to be different. You're so focused on when it was better rather than today. What does Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. What does Paul say? Forgetting what lies behind and pressing on towards what is ahead. Stop focusing on the bad location unless. Sometimes some of us think that if we ignore the emotion and we ignore what we're struggling with, it just evaporates and goes away. Emotions don't work that way. So if you're mad and I'm just going to shove it over in this corner box over there, and I'm not going to get angry because it's shoved over there. It doesn't go away. Just when you get the right prick, all of a sudden it's right back there. Or the sadness or the pain, the emotional pain that you have over whatever it was that you suffered and went through. You think, if I just shove it over in that box over there and pretend it doesn't exist, I won't feel that pain anymore. And it just keeps showing up, doesn't it? You know why? Because you didn't decide to face your pain before you moved on. And see, I don't know what to do with this ending here because, you know, it's interesting. And I try not to do this, but sometimes preachers will take a passage and they'll say how God felt about it. But did you notice something about this chapter? God didn't tell us who responded incorrectly. Did you notice that? There's not a word in there that says they should have celebrated rather than mourning. There's not a word in there that says they should have mourned instead of celebrating. God didn't say anything. And I tend to think that's because that in some way both responses were appropriate. Because there's some of you that are angry and hurting and struggling because you didn't let yourself face the thing that you went through. And you've given up on life, and you keep failing because you think, I'm just supposed to be happy. You know, don't we do that in Christian communities sometimes? Rejoice in the Lord always. So that means I should be happy all the time about everything. Don't we do that with some hyper-spiritual, name it, claim it people? No, don't. I love it when I'm sick, and pre-COVID, because now when you're sick, you never run anybody. But when you're sick, you know, have a cold or whatever, and then I say to someone, yeah, I have a cold, and someone says to me, don't say that. As if me admitting that I had a cold is what gave me the cold. It showed up before I admitted it, by the way, but anyway. But we're like that. We're like, no, don't. Just pretend like you're not sad. Okay, just pretend like you're happy. Have anybody ever tried to do that? That's not a good prescription for joy. It just doesn't happen. Right? So you need to do both responses. We need to, when we're hurting, when we're angry, we need to face that anger. I'm telling you, it feels so much better when you go to the person and kindly and gently with respect and you talk through, hey, I'm mad at you because. I'm angry. That bothered me because. Maybe it shouldn't have. You know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I even reacted wrong. But this is why that bothered me. And you go and you talk to them about it. Boy, do you feel so much better than if you just pretend like, I just don't want to, you hate conflict. I just don't want to talk about that. You know, I just don't want to deal with that. You feel so much better because you dealt with the emotion. But some of us decide that because it's important to deal with the emotions, we decide to drop everything forever and just stay in our emotions. We never recover. And God doesn't want us in either of those places. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? God doesn't want us in either of those places. And Joe, if we can do the God who stays, I think it's a fitting song for what we're discussing this morning. So you're here this morning, and you're possibly coming at this from one of two angles. One of the angles is you quit. I don't know what it is you gave up on. Maybe you quit praying for that thing because it just wasn't happening. You gave up on humanity and people because they're disappointing. You gave up on getting your life together. You gave up on your marriage. You gave up on your children. You gave up on your parents, your health. You know, sometimes some of us are unhealthy because of things outside of our control. Sometimes we're unhealthy because we just completely give up on our body. Just might as well just let it go. Maybe it's your spiritual walk with the Lord. I don't know what it is. But you quit, and you can begin leading us. But you quit. That's different today for you because you gave up. Well, what was I supposed to do? Not quit. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to get there overnight. But that's part of the joy. You know, part of the joy is making the progress. Part of the joy is the journey and not just getting there. And you quit. And today's the day you need to repent of giving up on whatever that thing was. And you need to come down here and ask the Lord to help you to get back up on your feet and go again. That's one angle. Go ahead and begin playing. The other angle is you haven't quit yet, but you're thinking about it. Or you haven't quit yet and you're not thinking about it, but as you're thinking about the things you should be doing, I know it's hard to find a way to enter in. Oh, is it the sound gone? Oh, I'm blaming the wrong person. It's all right. There we go. There we go. We've been delivered.
Sounded good in my ear.
Some of us, we're not thinking of quitting. We haven't quit. We're not even considering it. But when you started to think about the preventatives and the things that should be happening in your life, those essentials, some of you think you're good enough all by yourself. You're good enough alone. God didn't intend, it's not good for man to be alone. Say that. And some of you are starting to recognize that you're not thinking about quitting now, but boy, have you set the stage in motion for you to quit sometime in the near future. And you need to come down to these altars of repenting of not doing the essential stuff, whatever reason that you stop doing those things, and allow the Lord to come and work in you, because we need his energy, don't we? Because it's hard. This life has a way of beating us down. We need his energy. And I'm telling you that he is the God who is without limits and can empower us to keep persisting and not giving up. And even if you had, I love the verse that says a righteous man falls 7 times. But you know why he's righteous? He keeps getting back up. You know, failure is not because you messed up and you lost it for a moment. Failure is if you stop trying, if you give up on the journey. And some of you have. Some of you are set up to give up on it. And you need to come down, right? They're going to lead this song for us, and the words are appropriate. Let's let him change us. Let's let us get us back on the right track this morning. Come and seek him. Come and seek him, Lord. Come and seek the Lord.